going to be supernaturally quick and supernaturally cut parts out as we go. It's funny, all morning we've been talking that one way or another, serving just keeps coming up. That's what's been on my heart. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about serving. I laid it out in five different ways. The heart of serving, the nature of serving, the attitude of serving. Serving 101, that's a little different one. And why do we serve? I don't know if we're going to stay on it to task, but we're going to work through it. So y'all are very familiar with the story that Jesus told about there was a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and thieves came upon him and whooped up on him. And then he proceeded with some ideas of what a servant is and the heart of a servant. But I want you to, you know, as we start this, I want you to see, if you would, this is in Luke 10. So if you want to follow along, Luke 10. But it's interesting how he starts. Way back in verse 25, where this whole thing starts out with an individual asking Jesus a question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay, so Jesus tells him, okay, so what's... I like how he asked it. He didn't tell him. He said, how do you interpret the law concerning this? So he responds. He says, were you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength or might and your soul and your mind and your neighbor as yourself? And Jesus says, you're right. Absolutely. So go and do this and you'll be fine. And then it adds in there, the man wanting to be justified, wanting to basically have Jesus look at him as someone who is, I know my stuff, I know who I am, you know, I've got it down, I know what a servant is, I'll take care of this. So he just, well, who is my neighbor? And it was funny because Jesus did not give him very good answers. He said, well, let me tell you, let me ask you something. Let me give you a story, which is just Jesus. And we're just going to take a second right there, because the very first thing he says after this little episode, actually, did I tell you? No, it's Luke 10, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. That was me. I'm off. Okay, so he says in the very first thing, a certain man came down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and he fell among robbers and thieves, and they stripped him, and they beat him, and they went off and left him for dead. Before we get into more of what we're doing, I just want to give you, show you a pattern. If you ever wonder if you feel stripped, you feel beaten, and you're left basically incoherent, might be under an attack. That's the nature of the enemy. If he can whoop you and beat you physically, he knows that the mind, even you may be healed up 10 years later, but you'll still have this. And he can continue to defeat you if you allow him to, because he'll just rehash it and rehash it and rehash it. It's just a little extra thing I'm throwing in there. Just if you want a pattern, you want to see things that are happening to you, and you find yourself, man, I feel beat, I feel stripped, I just feel physically like basically I'm dead. Look at it as possibly you're under an attack, to give you an opportunity to fight back in one, just one, and you can erase all of his ignorance, all of his ugliness. So, I do not agree with that. I may not feel right, and I may not feel good, I may not have this, but I don't agree with you, enemy. Fight back. My agreements are with what Jesus says about me. And that's where that starts. But that's kind of all extra, because we're really going to go up in here about the idea of where he went from there. So, love the Lord your God. Love. Love. That's the front. love. Love and serving are absolutely tied together. You can't be a good servant unless you love. Otherwise, your service will be frustrating, at least. I remember years and years and years ago, we would try to get people to help serve. You know, this is way years ago. This is before, I think, Clay wasn't even here yet. Another fellow that went here and I, we would mow the grass every week. And after a while, it was drudgery. Because we couldn't get any help, and our attitudes weren't exactly right. So we'd come and complain about it the whole time we're mowing. But we got the job done week after week after week after week. It was horrible. There wasn't a love for it. I didn't see that I was serving the people. I couldn't see that. All I could see was that I didn't want to be up here Saturday afternoon in 95 degrees trying to mow the grass. That was what I could see. Starts with love, but love and serving are tied together. You love the Lord with all your heart, all your heart, all of your strength and might, all of your soul, all of your mind. And I'm going to change the words there, actually the way they render out in Greek, and your neighbor in the same manner. It changes a little bit. If you're to love the Lord God with your all of who, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your might, all of your entire being. But then he adds in from Leviticus, he adds in, and your neighbor in the same manner. See, we can pull that in on us pretty good. We can say, well, I'm going to try to love with all my heart and all mine. I'm going to love the Lord my like that. But then he adds that other one. Love your neighbor exactly the same way, no less. Love your neighbor with your all. That starts to get into the heart of a servant at a little different level. But who came to destroy the works of the enemy? Jesus. So when the enemy attacks and leaves you for dead, he walks away laughing, thinks he's done something. We have Jesus who came to destroy the works of the enemy, who can allow us to serve with a right heart, a righteous heart. Now look at the story of who came by. A priest came by. Priest should be a servant, right? Priest should be a servant of all. A priest should not be one who is served by everybody. His heart should be that he's in position he is to serve everybody. A Jewish priest, that's what he did. He taught, he served at every high level he could. The priest went by and he looked and he passed. The next one was a Levite. This one, I think, is really interesting because the idea of a Levite in the temple, he should be a servant. By far. You know what the Levite did in the temple? He cleansed the sacred utensils. He should have had a mind of service that was like beyond any other. He was cleaning the holy and the sacred utensils. He also opened and closed the temple doors. He was a gatekeeper. He's a doorkeeper. Servant. Should be. They also sang hymns in the temple. They led singing. He walked by and saw the guy beaten and left for dead, and he did the same thing. He just looked and he passed. Then it says a Samaritan came by, who is a Samaritan, who's one who is not accepted to be a Jew legally. They felt like they had Jewish history before the other Jew history, but they were not accepted as Jews. They were looked down on. But he, being one who was constantly looked down on by those who lived around him, said he saw him and he had compassion. So people who should have the right heart can still come to church looking righteous, being dressed to the hilt, full of status, successful in their jobs, plenty of money, maybe even a little fame. They have a lot of earthly weight, very little kingdom weight. It still happens. This parable was not for then and it ended then. This parable is for now. You know we're all called to be servants, right? Every one of us. Because we serve the greatest servant there ever was. The nature of a servant, the actual word service, simply is an act or a choice to bring aid to another for greater purpose. Bringing my personal abilities to another. These can be accomplished in love and compassion. See, the definition itself mentions choice. But as I've looked at this and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, something crept in on me. We are a free nature people, right? We have a free nature. God built us with that, a free will. The nature and the act of service, we would think, is a choice that we should choose out of a choice. But what kept creeping in on me as I studied this was that when it's done with pure love, the choice gets erased. If I love, I don't have a choice. If I love like he loves, I don't have a choice. I must serve. Because it's like my master. No one's greater than his master. Jesus said that. If he served with a whole heart full of love and loved his neighbor as much as he did himself, then what choice do we have there? I don't find it a choice for me. Just a sideline, serving did not just get created along the way. Service began even before man was even created. The angels who were created before man, they served. The creatures served God around the throne. Service and serving is not a gift. We function in gifts. But the heart of in the character of a person, an individual who loves unconditional because he's been loved unconditional, recognizes, I have no choice in this. This is what I must do if I'm going to serve my God with a whole heart. They served long before man was even put on the earth. It's not about gifts. It's not about being strong in your gifts at all. It's about your character, who you are before Almighty God. If we're looking to be served instead of us serving, how will God's greater purpose in people be accomplished? Just ask him. When I love and serve people with the right heart, they'll in turn bring aid. It's the way the kingdom's set up. You'll be taken care of when you take care of others. You know, it was interesting a while back. You've all seen it. They talked about one of the things that they found to be a proven fact was that those who suffered with depression, when they began to help other people and serve other people, it relieved their depression. Isn't that something?
Yes.
It's a principle. It's how God has things set up in the kingdom because he expects us to be like him. The attitude of serving. See, in Matthew 20, you can turn there too. It's not funny, but it's just funny to me sometimes when I think about, and I would, you know, not, we probably didn't, wouldn't have been any different. This part begins with a very messed up idea of serving and who we are. When the mother of the sons of Zebedee asked, "When you come into your kingdom, can my sons sit on the right and the left?" Ah, boy, what a messed up view. Messed up view. And Jesus, again, he just turns the wrong thinking into a lesson. It's like, it's not up to me who sits at the right hand of the Father. That's up to whom the Father says gets to sit there. But he turns and he asks them, "Can you bear the cup that I'm going to bear?" And you know, in their silliness, they said, "Yes, we can." I have no idea what he was going to go through. As a servant of all, like I said, he said, it's to whom my Father's prepared that place for. And it's going to be for a servant. It's going to be for a great servant who served his people to the end. And there's none greater than Jesus himself. Then we come to verse 26. And Jesus gives this another parable. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them." And 26 says, "It is not so among you." It's not to be that way among us. It's not to be that way of people who are of a kingdom, that I'm the king of the kingdom. That's not the way we do things. It's not the way we're going to do things. "But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant." Verse 27, "Whoever wishes to be the first among shall be a slave." If we want to break those down, who wishes to be first must become... Different versions say that they use the word minister. If you look the word minister up in the Greek, it simply says one who would run errands, attend, to be a waiter. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, being the greatest servant of all, he attends to you. He's a waiter. He runs errands. That's interesting to me. But he's a full servant in every way. Just quickly, I just tell you, this is what, you know, yesterday I was sitting at the house and I noticed it getting a little bit warm, and I thought, why is it getting warm in here? I looked, thermostat was 75. Well, it was set at 72. It's like, so I walked outside, looked at one of the units. It was icing up. It's like, okay, well. So I ran around, looked, the fan wasn't running. I said, okay. So I called on the weekend. You know what that's like to call the air conditioned man on a weekend. He said he probably couldn't get to me till last night or this morning. I called Friday night. That's when I felt it, Friday night. So I called Friday night at 11 o'clock, just left a message. So he called me and said, "Hey, I had somebody canceled, so I can be there at 11:45. Yes, that was yesterday morning. I said, "Well, come on." He was there 15 minutes. And he was done, and it's cooling again. Capacitor went out. I was frustrated about it, irritated about it, because we're going out of town. It's the last thing I need, stupid air conditioner going out. Then I realized when he walked out the door and left, like, you know what? Lord, thank you. Because if you hadn't let this happen now, I'd have been in Pennsylvania for 7 days. This thing would have run for 7 days straight, would have never shut off. Probably burn up the motor, probably burn up the compressor, and then I'd be looking at $1,200, $1,400. Then this way I get out $100, $200. It's like I had to go right back to Thanksgiving. It's like, Lord, you're good. You take care of me. Greatest servant of all. Second one, he said, who wishes to be first must become a slave, and literally as a bondservant, one who gives himself up to another's will. So Jesus is saying some pretty hard stuff to people, to his disciples, because they're thinking about sitting on the throne on each side of God. So he gives them a pretty hard lesson. Well, if you want to be great among people, first thing you're going to have to do is wait on them. If they need a drink, get them one. If they want something to eat, give them something to eat. Run errands for them. Attend to them. Give yourself up to his will, to another's will. So he reversed it pretty stiff and hard on them. And 28 says, but like the Son of Man, he did not come to be great. He didn't come to be served, but he came to give himself, ransom for many. They said, if you want to follow me and you want to be great, then be willing to take the cup that I'm taking. Be willing to serve people at any level. My heart, man, I tell you, I was talking to my niece yesterday, who just lost her dad. But man, she was talking about her son-in-law, young man, 25. I've met him just once, he's a great man. But she said, you know, I watched him. She said, every time there was something, they were there for about a week. And she said, every time dad would ask for something, whether it was private things that he needed done, it didn't matter what. He said, let me take care of that. He said, I just had a brother who had jaw cancer. He said, and I took care of him every way you could possibly think of while he was healing. He said, let me do it. What a servant's heart. Didn't have to do that. That's the point. He didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to be a servant. He chose in his, he knew what he was about. He became a servant to all. Matthew 25, 34, you know the story. And it's when you did it to the least of these is what Jesus said when he talked about those who said, you know, when you gave me something to drink, you gave me something to eat. And they were like, what does it say? The righteous said, when did we do that for you, Lord? The righteous, whose heart was right and in harmony with God, weren't even thinking about being a servant. They just were servants. And Jesus said, well, when you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. Philippians 2:3 says, esteem others greater than yourself. View others as more than you are. It's just the nature of this new following of Jesus was about. It was Romans 12:3. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, he has a way of bringing you down to reality if he chooses to. You know, he talks about the Gentiles there in that verse. They were very ambitious to rule. And he gives a warning against that. Don't be so quick to be ambitious about being a ruler. Yet serve first. Because in that, you find yourself in vainglory. And vainglory is nothing but pride. So let me say this. Character is formed in serving. You want to be a man of character? You want to be a woman of character? A woman or a man after God's own heart? You want to be the apple of his eye? Then let him build character in you. And that comes from serving. I will honestly tell you, all the times I griped about coming up here and mowing grass, week after week, year after year, there was no character being built in me because I didn't do it willingly. There was no character. I just kept complaining. Finally came to a place where I began to pull in truth and realize what was the real deal. And then I could look at it and say, well, God, I'll serve you. I'll do it. I'll do it because when people pull in, it looks nice. I'll do it for just that because it's worthy. And so gradually he begins to change your heart as you come into alignment with him. In his heart. truly serving with no motive except to follow Christ. There should be no other motive that really exists other than the fact that, Jesus, you were the greatest servant of all. You've given your life for me. I'll serve you. See, it's not real hard. But we don't need to come justifying ourselves. You know, well, who is my neighbor? That doesn't walk in the kingdom. Serving is formed in humility, emptying of yourself, staying in unity, faithfulness, consistency, not for the moment, but a lifestyle. A true servant doesn't serve today and then tomorrow he's king. It's not how it works. It's God who promotes. You want to be great? What do you say? Then you need to become a servant. You need to be a waiter to people. You need to be attending to them. And on and on. Character is formed in you in serving, not perfection. You hear that? Character, good character, great character, godly character is not perfection. So don't get yourself mixed up in the idea that this is going to make me something and I'll become something. The greatest thing you can ever do is be a servant to all. The greatest thing you can ever do. But see, it comes out of, it's a thing in your nature that has to change. Because as our human nature, it is not that of a servant. Our human nature is to lord over. It's just what he said about the Gentiles. They like to lord over. But that's not how we serve. That's not how we get to be great. A character with serving at its base, out of love, will become visible in our home life, in our marriages, in our relationships. It'll be seen in our kids, behind closed doors when no one's watching. That's how your character is proven. It's not that you become perfect. And I'm going to skip one which is great because I want to end, because it's time to end for the sake of the other things we have. And just let me say, I'm not complaining about these other things we have to do because I think it's awesome because it means there's life in the house. If we've got things that we need to do every Sunday in service, that means there's life here. That makes me happy. I'm not complaining about other things we've got to do. I'm just trying to finish up. Jesus, when he was washing the disciples' feet, remember he told Peter, didn't want it, you know, it's like, oh no, I'm again justifying himself. Not me, Lord, you aren't going to do me because you're the, you know. So Jesus said, if you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. If you don't let me serve you, then you have no part with me. If you don't let me serve you, then you will not act in the spirit that I'm acting in. You won't have it. So we must allow him to serve us. It's a picture of salvation. He's mighty God, but he's also full servant. Why should I serve him? Because I should serve because Jesus did. That's about as close as it comes. He served me with mercy when I didn't deserve any mercy. He served me with grace. In the face of sin and all my foolishness, his grace continues to flow from the throne and overwhelms me and causes me to run back to him. That's why I should serve. That's why I need to be able to receive his service. He serves us. He has always served us. He served me on the cross because it gave me life. It gives us life. He served us by taking the pain because his chastisement, my chastisement, was upon him. He served me on the cross. He served me in the pain. He served me in the suffering because it provided divine healing and health for me. He served me in his death. He gave me access to the holy place. Hebrews tells us that by his death. He served me by resurrecting because he lifted my feet out of miry clay. And that's a weird statement, but if you ever want to just think back on your life before Christ, and you can get a definition of miry clay, where you're stuck. He pulled your feet out. You're not stuck anymore. He should be praised for that. That's why how he serves us. He served us with life, gave me super life, super abundant life through Holy Spirit. He served me with opportunity, which is purpose. He served me with hope, which is my faith. He served me with a sure foundation, which is truth, an anchor to my soul. Because Jesus served, we serve. That's a short version. Greatest servant of all. Our Lord, our Savior. It's so good. It's so good. Your daughter, she in class. You can get her, or somebody else can go get her. Kathy's heading out. Tell Thomas also to go ahead and bring the kids in when he's ready. I want him to be a part of that. Father, where are our, what? Come on.
While they're getting ready for the baptism, I was just going to say something that the Lord told me one time when I was talking to him, because it was a time where I was experiencing his love in such a tremendous way. It was so powerful. But at the same time, I could see his love. Behind him, I could see his strength and his might. And I asked him, I said, how can you release nothing but love? This is incredible love. And keep your might and your strength in check. And he said, because I'm humble and I know who I am. You know, so much of what's tied into can we be a servant even when nobody's watching, compared to do we need to be in leadership or do we need to have a platform, all that kind of stuff. It's all tied up in the identity. Jesus knew who he was. He had nothing to prove to anyone. That's how he can keep his strength and might in check while he releases nothing but his love to us. You know, just even the ones that we honored here this earlier today that are in the children's ministry, whether they're an infant or going into the sixth grade this year, a 2-foot-tall person is just as important as a 6-foot-tall person. When you're a servant in the kingdom, it is. As we know who we are, it will never be an issue to have a platform to serve.
Amen. That's a whole point that I skipped out of John 13. I was going to go there, but I skipped that one. But it literally says, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, he was coming into the full understanding of who he was and that he had fulfilled it. And who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, that's when he rose up from the supper. Said that having realized who he was and the fulfillment of who he was right now, he stood up and gave one of the greatest demonstrations of serving, to the point where he told Peter, if you don't let me do this, if you don't let me serve you at the humblest level, then you'll never understand and walk in the spirit that I am. Have no part with me. That's the picture of salvation. If we won't let him serve us in the way on the cross and all the way through, then we have no part with him. Interesting, incredible love.